Я то нак пачет, пачаку тачит па. Дина сваматмана малам самарта. Имочитам кама дришам вихара. Ридам ригоян нигато висарга.
Ридам ригоян нигато висарга.
My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees is Narayana, is liberation from the bondage of material existence. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yadharimashrayeta. In this verse also, he stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time or place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment to his family. Even in those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families, even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, so-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus, they keep themselves shackled in family life. And furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way. Playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women, they glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram puna punash charvata charvananam. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed, and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus, one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. My dear friends, O sons of demons, It is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. I am very grateful for the opportunity to have the association of all of you wonderful Vaishnavas, and with your kind permission and your service, we will try to share some words from this very beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading the prayer, the instructions of Srila Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates in the Gurukul of Shanda Anamarka, in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. Herein we find that Prahlad Maharaj is severely condemning too much attachment to material conceptions of life. And he is explaining that the basic principle of material bondage is attachment to sexual enjoyment. And family life that is centered around such sense gratification is like a deep, dark well. And once falling in that deep, dark well, it is so terrible that even if you cry for help, no one hears you. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that such unfortunate souls who become attached to the sense gratification of family life, they surround themselves with children, with grandchildren, with great-grandchildren, and their misconception of the bodily concepts increases with every situation that increases within their household affairs. In other words, the more children we have, the more we're bound by the illusion that this is mine, and that I am this body. The nicer the house that we have, the more facilities we have within our house to enjoy, the deeper and deeper we become bound up in the imminent miseries of material existence. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj condemns that in human society, people are working so hard. They are making so many plans. They are sacrificing so much just to become more and more bound by these illusions. Yehi samsparashita bhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta vanta konteya nathe suramate. Krishna says in Gita that an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are born of the contact between the senses and their objects. such so-called pleasures have a beginning and an end, and therefore they are the cause of all frustrations, and an intelligent man does not take part in them. Prahlad Maharaj explains elsewhere in his teachings that if you want to be happy in this world, there is a simple formula which anyone can follow. And that formula is, stop trying to be happy in this world. As long as you try to be happy in this world, you must suffer. If you stop looking for happiness in this world, there's no more suffering. Prahlad is speaking when he's only a five-year-old child. And he is a great Mahajan. He is one who teaches by his practical example. Here he is condemning so terribly the materialistic conception of family life surrounded by wife, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. But how wonderful it is that a few years after Prahlad speaks this beautiful verse, he takes, by the instruction of the Supreme Lord, the kingdom of his father, Hiranyakashipu. And then he gets married. And then he has children, like Virochan. And then he has grandchildren, like Bali Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is living in a big, big, beautiful, wonderful palace. He has a wife, children, and grandchildren. And yet he's speaking this verse. By reading this verse, it appears everyone should just leave their household affairs and take sannyas and go into the forest. But Prahlad Maharaj explains that family life itself is one of the ashrams that Krishna recommends in his teachings in Gita, that family life centered around sense gratification, our own personal selfish enjoyment, is the greatest, most severe cause of bondage in all of creation. Prahlad was as much a Mahajan in his brahmachari life as he was in his grihastha life. Why? Because he was Krishna conscious. And the secret of how to remain Krishna conscious in any situation is herein explained by Prahlad. Bhakti Vinod prayed, Grihe tako bane tako, sada hari bole tako, suke duke bulo nako, badne hari naam koro re. That whether you are a grihastha living at home with family, or whether you are a sannyasi living in the jungles, that is not what is important. What is important is you become free from all happiness and distress by always taking the holy name of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj explains here that if we associate with people who are too much addicted to sexual enjoyment and the byproducts of sexual enjoyment, then we become demoniac. It is impossible to not. What you associate with, you become. When we associate with sincere devotees who are honestly struggling to control their mind and senses and engage in the service of the Lord, we become saintly. We become purified in that association. This kinchinanam bhagavan bhutano mukasya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the sannyas order of life, he was following the principles very, very strict to set an example for others to follow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate hypocrisy in any ashram. Whatever ashram we are in, if we follow it honestly, according to the guidance of saintly persons, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very pleased. So as a sannyasi, he would not meet with worldly people intimately. when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested that there is a great king of the name of Pratap Rudra who wants to meet you. He's such a great devotee. He's dedicated everything for your loving service. Please grant him an interview. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very disturbed. Niskinchanasya bhagavad bhajanomukasya paramparam jikamasur bhavasagarasya. If one wants to cross over the ocean of material birth and death, to intimately associate with people too much attached to sense enjoyment is like drinking poison willingly. He explained that associating with such materialistic people surrounded by enjoyment, it is more dangerous than being in a pit full of venomous snakes. Because poison can only end this body, terminate a physical condition which is about to end any minute anyway. But association with worldly people kills our propensity for devotional service. Raghunath Das Goswami explained that materialistic people, they like to speak all nonsense. They take great pleasure in gossip, in spreading rumors about one another. This is their joy, their delight. He said that such idle gossip is like a prostitute that will steal away all of your propensities to serve Radha and Krishna. So we must be very careful. Prahlad Maharaj explains how very important it is to associate with devotees. But association of devotees means associating on the level of devotional principles. If we have shaved heads and dhotis or saris and tilak, and we're talking gossip and rumors about others, and we think we're associating with devotees, that is a great illusion. If together we are doing the things that the materialistic people do, then we are in materialistic association. Association of devotees means being with sincere and honest souls who want to take part in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and encouraging one another, enlightening one another in devotional service. Machchita madgata prana bodhiyanta parasvaram katiyantascha mam nityantushyanti charamanti cha. Krishna explains that devotees take great joy and pleasure in enlightening one another, not degrading one another, not dragging each other down with material topics. Even if something is true about someone, if it is not encouraging us in devotional service, it is not beneficial to that person, we should not speak it. Because it simply contaminates it, it's us, it pollutes us. When we speak about the faults of another, that fault comes into us. Because we become what we associate with. Those who find faults in others, they become contaminated and victimized by the very faults that they are associating with by speaking. And those who glorify devotees, they become glorious because they're associating with something glorious. So Prahlad Maharaj is here explaining how very, very important it is to associate with devotees on a devotional platform, not to associate with anyone on a materialistic platform. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle very carefully. And he explained, I will not see this king because he associates with worldly people. It is not possible. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ultimately gave his most special mercy to King Prataparudra because he saw the king take a humble position. Because he saw him sweeping the road before Lord Jagannath, not only before Jagannath, but he was also sweeping the road that the devotees would be about to dance on. So he was serving the Lord and his devotees. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart changed. And in a secret place, he embraced the king so intimately and bestowed within his heart his most confidential mercy. This precedent is very important. On one hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had such dear, beautiful, loving relationship with great sannyasis like Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami, Srila Gadadhara Pandit, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. He bestowed his full, unparalleled mercy upon each and every one of them. But simultaneously, he had equally dear and loving relationships with Ramananda Rai and Srivas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya and Shivananda Sen, and they were grihasthas. They had wives. They had children. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked very affectionately about the welfare of their children. And he would bestow special mercy upon those children. To Shivananda Sen's son, Lord Chaitanya personally placed his toe within his mouth to suck upon and taste the nectar of the dust from his lotus feet. Because these devotees, they utilized all of their surroundings and everything they had in the loving service of the Lord. They always associated with other Vaishnavas. They were always absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And even more so, they were always glorifying the Lord's devotees. Therefore, they had no attachment to this material world. They had children, they had grandchildren, they may have had great-grandchildren, but they understood the principle that everything belongs to Krishna, that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarava lokamaheshwaram suhridam sarava bhutanam kyatvamam shanti vrachchati. Those who understand the value of associating with devotees in Krishna consciousness become most dear to the Lord. This is the most basic and sacred principle of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. To the degree we appreciate the Vaishnavas, to that degree Krishna will give us the power to sincerely chant his holy names. There is a beautiful story from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. There was one Brahman, and this Brahman, he was living in Navadvip, and through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leela as Navadvip Chandra, he thought that Lord Chaitanya was just a sentimental fool. And he thought all the Vaishnavas were also very, very sentimental, less intelligent people. So he was blaspheming, criticizing the devotees. But after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, somehow or other, he had a change of heart. He understood the glory of the Lord. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip, he stopped in a place called Kulia. And there he decided to forgive all the offenders of the past. So this Brahmin came to him and said that I am the most sinful, I am the most unfortunate, that for so many years the only thing that came out of my mouth was blasphemy and criticism of your devotees. Now, what can I do to atone for this offense and receive your mercy? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that if one willingly drinks poison with one's mouth, that poison will surely kill that person. But if with the same mouth one drinks amrit, nectar, then that nectar will neutralize all the effects of the poison and one will give one eternal life. So similarly, to speak any criticism in any way against a Vaishnava is like drinking poison. And the only way to atone for it is with the same mouth that we blaspheme, we glorify the Vaishnavas. We glorify that Vaishnava and the Vaishnavas. And through the glorification of the Vaishnavas, which is like nectar according to Mahaprabhu, not only do we neutralize all of our offenses, but we attract the supreme mercy of Krishna. Mad bhakta puja abhidhika. Krishna's greatest pleasure is to see when we serve and please his devotees. We cannot properly chant the holy names unless we adopt this principle very, very seriously within our lives. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed by his example how his greatest pleasure was to serve and please his devotees. And in this way, because all the devotees were immersed in this mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant of one another, what type of wonderful kirtans there were in Navadvip Dham, where everyone in such intimate love and encouragement toward one another, their love reached the lotus feet of Krishna immediately as they loudly and jubilantly chanted the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But if we associate with materialistic people, or if we allow the topics or the tendencies of materialistic people to enter within our own association, we become demoniac, according to the sloka in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we must be very, very careful to guard against these demoniac influences of the age of Kali from either coming into our Sangam, and we must be very careful to guard against going out and being infected by such deadly and poisonous influences. Would you like to add anything, Lokanath Maharaj? So, Srila Prabhupada painstakingly created such a wonderful society of Vaishnavas. He risked his health, his life, his everything to give us this gift. And to cherish and care for this gift according to the principles he has given us is our life and soul. By simply performing that service, Krishna will take us back home, back to Godhead. There is no doubt. There is nothing else required. We simply live according to these principles that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and preserve the gift of the society he has given us the way he would like us to do, by serving his devotees, we will attract Krishna's attention. When we take a humble position, Krishna is attractive. Krishna is all attractive. What is it that attracts Krishna? It is a law of nature that opposites attract one another. You have seen magnet, that the positive side repels the positive side of another magnet. But the negative side attracts the positive. You have seen? Similarly, Krishna is all great. If we think we're great, we repel Krishna away from us. If we think we're small, we attract the great. If we think we're low, we attract the high. If we think we're high, we repel the high. The path of bhakti, which is the only means of approaching Krishna. Bhaktyatvana nigashakya aham evam vidvarajana. Kyatam drastam chatatvaina praveshtam chaparanta. Krishna said, it is only through bhakti that you can know me as I am. Through jnana yoga, karma yoga, astanga yoga, we may elevate ourselves by our disciplines or by our sacrifices to a certain level of material prosperity or relief of material misery. But to actually come in contact with the perfection of life, the loving service of the Lord, it is only through bhakti. Bhakti means that through our sincere efforts, through our humility, we attract the all-attractive. When Krishna is attracted to us, to our consciousness, then he reveals his all-attractive nature. And then we are naturally completely attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all-attractive. Why we're not attracted? Why we are still addicted to the petty sources of misery in the form of the enjoyments of this world, when the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shyam Sundar, and his eternal consort, Sri Radharani, are within our hearts? Why? Even though we're chanting his names, even though we're hearing their glories and their pastimes, why we're not attracted? We become attracted when Krishna reveals himself to attract us. And he reveals himself when he is attracted to our consciousness. When we feel we are low, we attract the high. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the most essential principle of our lives. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explained that every sincere devotee should take this verse and thread it, or put it on the thread of the holy name and wear it always. That means live according to this principle. Make this the priority of our life. Because when we aspire and strive to be humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, anxious to offer all respects to others and not inclined to receive any for ourselves, then we can chant the holy name of the Lord in such a way that Krishna reveals himself within his name and attracts our hearts forever away from the illusions of this world. And what is the greatest process of expressing humility? Is being humble before the Lord's devotees, taking the position of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. Thank you very much. Is there anybody who would like to speak, or is there any questions? Yes, Bhakti Rupa Prabhu.
recommending the association of Vaishnavas and rejecting the association of materialistic persons. It seems that it's just very difficult to follow. Sometimes it's difficult to understand who is a Vaishnava and who is not a Vaishnava. Who is actually proper association, who is improper association. That we find that even in our relationships, very even within our day-to-day relationships, some vajalpa creeps in somehow or other. Very difficult to have a relationship that's not somehow or other affected with this tendency for vajalpa. So how do we choose very carefully our proper association?
Srila Rupa Goswami explains that every Vaishnava, anybody who's chanting the holy name of Krishna, no matter what they are, we should at least mentally offer our respects to them. That is very important. If somebody is criticizing and we criticize them, then what is it? We should keep little distance but offer our respects. As far as what you're asking, choosing our association, if we are in the mood of being the servant of the Vaishnavas, then those people who are not simply blasphemous, criticizing, but who are basically sincere and want to make spiritual advancement, but are inclined to lower tendencies, as we are, to gossip and talk rumors and all these things, we should not reject them. But rather, we should try to work together to encourage and inspire higher spiritual topics. We both have those tendencies, so we should actually discuss together how we can overcome these tendencies. And we should develop and progress together. And we should get the inspiration and the strength to do so from those exalted Vaishnavas who do not have the tendencies to find faults in others. From those who are actually finding the greatest source of inspiration from glorifying Krishna and his devotees. From them we get our strength, we get our inspiration, we get our purpose. And then when we're amongst our peers who have the same tendencies as us, but are basically sincere to advance, we have to utilize that strength and inspiration to influence one another, to serve one another, to help one another, to uplift one another. And by following this process, this is the perfect method of purifying our consciousness and creating a society of devotees with purified consciousness. We can't simply avoid everybody. We should be inspiring one another. Whenever those lower tendencies come, we have to help one another with the help of the senior Vaishnavas to come out of that and talk the topics of Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. And to the degree we follow this principle, to that degree we're actually expressing real sincerity. Does that answer your question?
If someone is criticizing the devotee, it's not good for that devotee to criticize. It's not good for him. But if someone is criticizing me, actually it is good for me. So if we discourage devotees from criticism, it is good for those who have tendency to criticize and gossip. But I would do the benefit because I would like to hear some criticism of myself. This is how I could be improved. So if we were to strongly preach against the gossip and criticism, then I'm wondering how we would hear the benefit. And I'm wondering whether such a strong preaching, that this is just a tactic to shut up the mouth of those who criticize. In fact, I have faults, but I don't want that someone expose me, so I just strongly say things against the criticism so that I'm not criticized. Who should be criticized?
Maharaj has very successfully revealed the inner motives for whatever I say. Thank you very much. It takes someone with clear vision to cut through the hypocrisy of someone like me. That's the answer to the second part of your question. As far as the first part of the question,
gossip is something behind. There are two
that is the Upadeshamrita. My humble response, Maharaj is saying that it's good when people criticize me because it makes me humble. Jai Swamiji, Hare Krishna. But it's bad for the person who criticizes. So in this case, we should be more concerned with other people's spiritual advancement than our own. We shouldn't be so selfish that we want others to go to hell just so that we make progress. Rather, we should be willing to go to hell to make other people have progress. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. So, criticism will come. You cannot avoid it in this material world. It will come upon you. But we must preach in such a way that the general body of devotees do not become implicated and incriminated in these offenses. We want to help them and inspire them. Those who are sincere will take this instruction and they will make great spiritual advancement and attract Krishna. Those who do not take this instruction, they will go on criticizing. And the materialistic people, they will always criticize. The model example of our whole devotional life is the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the house of Srivas, all the devotees would gather. Not a single one of them would ever even think of the faults of another Vaishnava. They were so humble. They were always glorifying one another, serving one another, and in this mood they were completely immersed in the most wonderful, wonderful, ecstatic kirtans this world has ever seen. But still, all you don't have to worry that in this material world no one will ever criticize you. That will come. The materialist will criticize, the atheist will criticize, the envious will criticize. But amongst ourselves there should be no criticism. This is the example established by Lord Chaitanya Navadvipa. They had plenty of opportunities to be humbled in a blade of grass when the materialistic people blasphemed them. There's always jagais and madhais to keep us in line in that way. But amongst the devotees themselves, amongst that Sangham, there was only the glorification of the Lord and the devotees. Yes?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu criticized his mother, the chief's finding fault with his Vaitacharya.
But that criticism was different. We can also criticize each other like that. He was pointing out a defect that was blocking her spiritual progress. This is not criticism. This is service. within Vaishnav society, we want to point out what is impeding the progress of another devotee. But we should not do it in a mood of envy. We should not do it in a mood of enjoying saying these things. We should do it in the mood of service. So we also should criticize one another in the mood of service to one another. But if there is any taint that this is what I like to do, or any taint of envy, then those words will contaminate your heart. According to this message, I'm supposed to end at 8:30. Thank you very much.